Are you getting darker or brighter as the world seemingly is getting darker? Can you actually get darker or get brighter and become more optimistic, clearer like a blue sky, more courageous, more joyful, more filled with the awesome things of God as the world gets darker? You know, as everybody else is going towards twilight, can you be like the coming of the dawn? Let's talk about that today, and especially how it relates to the glory of God. How does God's glory relate to our shining brightly? Let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us by His Word, the Scriptures. Now, first of all, we need to remember and understand that the basic rule of Scripture and life is this: that we become like whatever we look at, what we focus on with our heart and mind and spirit. And in the Bible, it says, those who worship idols become like idols. Let's read that, actually, in Psalm 115. Beginning at verse 3, it says, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases, but their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but don't speak, eyes, but don't see, ears, but don't hear, noses, but don't smell, hands, but don't feel, feet, but don't walk. They don't make a sound in their throat. And watch this, verse 8, those who make them are like them. So are all who trust in them. And so we become like whoever we look at. We're very impressionable creatures. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, bad company ruins good morals. So if you want to hang around jerks, you're going to be a jerk, right? And so we become like whatever we set before our eyes. And we're so impressionable. If we watch a movie or a TV show, we actually kind of become like whatever we watch, don't we? Remember when I watched Indiana Jones? Remember that adventure show? And I come out thinking I'm an adventurer, for at least for the next hour or two. And if you watch a romantic movie, you come out ready for love. I remember Naomi and I, a couple years ago, on YouTube, watched these street acrobats, which is called parkour. You ever hear of parkour? And so what did we do? We immediately go out and try to leap over benches at the park. And I vaulted over some really nicely, and then I was encouraged by that because she was impressed. So I'm like, hey, Naomi, watch Dad jump over this fountain. Well, I jumped over the fountain, but not all of me. My foot got stuck on the little fountain part, and I came down with a crash, twisted my ankle, and limped all the way home. So much for me being a street acrobat, parkour. But you know what? We become and try to become like whatever we set before our eyes. And this works in the opposite way, too, in the positive. If we set our eyes upon God and His great glory, we become like Him, bright like He is. And so I want to ask you today, do you do that? Do you focus on God and His great glory? Are you focusing more on in your life on other things, the evils of this world, especially in these dark days? But the temptation for all of us is to focus more on the evil that's going on around us, all in the world today, rather than on God, because there's just plain so much of it, right? If you look around, there's corruption in politics, there's fraud in the election, there's lies in the media, there's a virus, there's just evils of every sort from the works of men in entertainment and music and sports. Did you guys see the Super Bowl? I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I heard about the Super Bowl halftime show. And that, I heard, was a satanic worship service. And I wanted to check it out and see if that was really true. So I checked out the Super Bowl, and it was, I believe, a satanic worship service. It starts out with a bunch of people in white robes like I have, but then they had these red shining eyes, and they're these dark angelic figures singing over a shadowy city, chanting as if in worship, And then coming down from as from heaven is a figure of a person, and then he descends into the pit. And then he comes out a few moments later in this door that's opening with shining light. It's the devil who has come down and is wanting the worship of the world. And they dance. He's out in this scarlet red jacket, and actually all the other demons are in these scarlet red jackets. And people said, I hate to say it in a sermon, but people thought they were all wearing jock straps on their heads, actually. I believe that's what it actually was. Wicked and demonic. And they'd start dancing around this city which had words on it like alone, gone, feel nothing, and fear. Think about that. These are demons, and they marched around on the field. Eventually, they all fall down dead, and the guy who's playing Satan, his name is The Weeknd, he stands there at the end, basically getting all the worship and glory. This was an opportunity, I believe, that Satan uses, because he's got millions of people watching, to show a satanic worship service. And his purpose is people become like whatever they see. And he wants to make them dark like he is a dark prince. He's after his own dark and eerie glory. And so we need to be very careful what we focus on and how much we focus on what we focus on in this world. In Galatians 1:4, we read, Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. And so this present world, says the scripture, is evil. Paul says in Ephesians 5, the days are evil. 1 John 5, John says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. And so he wants to barrage and fire at us continually images of evil and corruption in the world to darken our spirits. And what's the result of looking at all of the evil that's in the world today? What's the result of it? You get darker and darker, anxious, troubled, and fearful. You know, when I researched even the Super Bowl halftime show for even a few minutes, I could feel that twilight trying to enter into my soul, this dark, eerie, shadowy mist, if you will, the darkness trying to creep in and make me dark. It happens even in just a few minutes. Now, we need to know what's going on in the world. I get that. You can do that. But we need to be careful, very careful, how much we look into it. Because we become like what we see. And Jesus tells us that at the very end of the world, the end of time, things will get darker and darker still. Sort of like there's always a rush of especially cold air just before the sun comes up at dawn. And Jesus says in Luke 21, he says, for there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and of the waves. Men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I think the powers of the heavens are already beginning to shake. I see people beginning to faint with fear and foreboding of what's coming upon the world. How about you, though? Is that going to happen to you? Are you going to get brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker? Well, can we actually get brighter and actually more optimistic and like a clearer blue sky and more courageous and more joyful, more shining as things get darker in the world? Answer is absolutely yes. And this is God's will for us. Isn't that great news? Think about it. When Israel was being chased with the charging fiery fury of Pharaoh, racing at them when they were at the Red Sea, the people were afraid and they cried to God and cried to Moses. And Moses cried to God. And what does God say? He says, why do you cry to me? Why are you looking at Pharaoh? Tell the people to go forward. Remember, the glory of the Lord is all about you as a canopy, a shield. And they went forward, and God swept away their enemies, but they passed through alive. God wants us to go in the same way through the dark and sinister twilight of this world, bright and shining like stars in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, says Paul. So what we got to do, though, is we've got to train our eyes of our mind, heart, and spirit on God and His great glory if we're going to be bright and shining and better every day. So the next question is, what is the glory of God? If we're going to look at it, what is glory? Well, it is God's brightness. It's His shining presence, His glory, His brilliance, His majesty, His wisdom, His beauty, His high-flying justice, His majesty, His royal power, His righteousness, His amazing grace, His love. All the things that He is shine with amazing brilliance. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, God is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. John says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And His face is like the sun shining in full strength. This morning we started out with a day that was rainy. Were you up that early? And yesterday it was like a hurricane with rain pelting sideways. But above all that low-level disaster and darkness, you know that the sun was shining if you could get up high enough. God is shining every day, despite what the world is looking like. Do you look up and ascend there and see His triumphant power of His righteousness? Look at how David glories in the Lord. Let's take this as an example. 1 Chronicles 29, he says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Say glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
And the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens is Thine, and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. And so, do you rejoice in this always? Do you set this before your heart? Do you do that a lot, or do you do that a little? You glory in God on Sundays and kind of forget about it the rest of the week? In comparison to you're glorying in God, how much time do you glory or look at the evil of the world or this life or your phone? Yes, the phone. Would this not change you to look at the glory of God at all times, even in the midst of the troubles that we face? Because God wants all of creation to glory in Him. If you think about it, up in heaven, the cherubim, we read in Revelation chapter 4, that the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who's seated upon the throne, who lives forever and ever, and they never cease day or night to glory in Him, these bright shining creatures. The angels likewise in Revelation 5, in their thousands, say with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Do you know that even the creatures, the animals, do this? According to Revelation 5, John says, I heard every creature in heaven and in earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, To Him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And even inanimate nature glories in God. Did you know that? Psalm 19 says, The heavens are telling the what? Glory of God. And the firmament proclaims His handiwork. So, are you going to be left out of this great chorus of all creation glorying in God? Is a little chipmunk sitting on a stone wall a better praiser than you are? Right? We need to make sure we're not left out and that we do not focus on all the evils of the world and the devil's dark, fading, ephemeral, brief, passing away, eerie glory, which he's constantly putting on display, his temporary power when he rears his ugly head in our culture or Super Bowl halftime shows and all the troubles of this life with an eerie, temporary glow. But guess what? Does man actually do this? mankind is the only creature that basically, along with the fallen angels, that opts out of this as a race, opts out of glorifying God. Sad but true. Remember what it says in Romans 1? It says, people exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. They fell down before creatures rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Men fall down before idols, before spirits of darkness, before demons and the devil. Revelation 13 says, men worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? And the whole earth followed the beast with wonder. What is that? That's the Antichrist. Do you think that's rising in our day? There's a spirit of Antichrist and everybody's falling down, and who can fight against it? The spirit of evil that's at work in the world today, they would say. And so they glory in things that are false and wicked, not in what is right and true. And so they become dark like the dark prince whom they look at. And this is terrible that they worship darkness, because it's getting darker and darker by the year. Doesn't it seem so? There are, and I believe there is, a revival going on, which is bright and shining. But at the same time, the scripture, if the scripture is true, and it is, we are to expect things to get darker as things come close to the end. Therefore, God is constantly calling people back to himself, saying in Jeremiah 13, give glory to the Lord, your God, before he brings darkness, before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains. And while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness. But it was foreseen even in ancient times that most of mankind will not repent. For it is written in Revelation 16, they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. There's the word again. So the world gets darker and darker because they become like what they worship, what they fix their hearts upon. And perhaps things will get better, but if the present trend continues, I think we can expect darker times to come. So let's get to the good news, though. How about us Christians? Do we get darker? I tell you, we get brighter and brighter as we go, for we see, unlike the rest of mankind, the glory of the Lord. And we look upon him, and he changes us daily. We rejoice in it. Listen to what it says in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So can you say with me, glory be to God today?
Glory be to God today.
Oh, strong. I like it. We're glorying in his might, in his majesty, in his royal power, his dominion, his kingship, his amazing grace. And where do we glory in him the best? In his son, Jesus Christ. Because Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4. For it is the God who said at creation, let light shine out of darkness. That same God has now shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we focus in our lives on him, on Jesus, as we hear him preached in his word, and as we worship him, you know, God's will for you, this is great news. No matter what happens in the world, you get brighter. You get more optimistic. You get like clearer blue skies. Every day is promised to be better and better and better until the kingdom comes. Everything good before you, if you but train your eyes always to see and look upon him. Are you focusing on him? Of course, the temptation is to look at him a little and to focus on the world a lot. Because, you know, everywhere you go, I went into Ace Hardware the other day, and I hear people saying, oh, this is wrong with the world, and that's wrong with the election, and this is wrong with our country, and woe for the evil that's coming on the world. Everywhere people are talking about it. But you know, sure, evil is evil, I get it, but who said you should be focusing on it? Think about that. David, wasn't he living in the midst of terrible troubles and wicked, dark enemies coming against him? Yet, what did he do? He said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." Do you think you could be like that? Do you know the promise of God to you if you train your eyes on Him is every day from here to the end of this world, it's going to be a better day for you. For every day with the Lord is a greater day. Because, you know, David gloried in God, though darkness was sweeping all around him and coming in close, but it never got into David because he looked to God and therefore he shined the brighter. Same thing can happen with you. Can you be changed in this way? Think about this. Moses, he wanted to see the glory of God. He said, "God, show me thy glory." And God said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim to you my great name, the Lord. But you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." So he hid Moses in the cleft of a rock as he passed by with all of his shining glory. And Moses got to see even just the backside as it passed, as he passed. And he worshiped the Lord. And what do we read? That when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he did not know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. Could the same thing happen with you? That you spend time in God's glory focusing on Him, and people are like, "Where you been?" And say, "I've been hanging out with the Lord. It's my face shines." Jesus took the disciples on a mountain in Luke 9. He took with him Peter, James, and John, and they went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was changed, and his clothing became dazzling white. Now, do you think James and Peter and John came down from the mountain like, just another day with Jesus? None changed. Or did they come in like, "Wow, we're forever changed and empowered for ministry because of what we saw, His glory"? You can do the same. For 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, or 2 Corinthians 3, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Every day you will look more like a shining star in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, shining brighter and brighter with better days and more optimism and clearer as we train our eyes upon the glory of the Lord. That's just the Spirit's work inside of you. And people are going to be like, "Why are you looking so fresh and vigorous with joy today?" You'll say, "I've been hanging out with my Lord and Jesus Christ, my Savior." Remember Russ Kopp, that big, burly, former Marine? Of course, you're never a former Marine, with that thundering, booming voice that he had. He was a Marine in the Iraq War. He told us a story of once of being bombed by heavy weaponry in Iraq in a city with his platoon, and they were in a dark room trying to keep secret, wondering if the next explosion would end their lives. And he felt moved by the Spirit in that eerie silence, stirred. He went, "Glory be to God! Praise the Lord!" And he heard all of his fellow soldiers saying, "What's Cop praising God for? We're about to be killed." But it changed the whole atmosphere, and sort of a light came into everyone, and God shielded them, and they came out of the whole experience alive. Could God do the same with you? It makes a big difference. If we train our eyes, you've got to train your eyes on it, though. Paul and Silas were singing in a dank, dark prison cell. And yet, as they worshiped the Lord in song, they glowed with the light of heaven and joy. Stephen was about to be killed in Acts chapter 6 and 7. False charges were brought up against him, and the men surrounded him like a pack of scheming wolves, uttering slanders to destroy him, and they did stone him. But what was he like? We read that gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel, shining with the splendor of heaven. For he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And they killed him, but they didn't really. He triumphed in life, and in death he went to heaven and flew to God, shining with the light of God. For as it says in Psalm 34, verse 5, look to him and be radiant, and so your faces shall never be ashamed. So shall it be for you. So we can look not only to the glory of God present, but we can also look to the triumphant glory of God that is coming. For this is our whole hope as Christians. Titus chapter 2, Paul says, we Christians are awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what all history is driving towards, his revealing. Because he came the first time clothed in humility with the skin and the outward garb of a servant. But mark this well, when he comes the second time, it will not be so. But with his full resplendent glory as king, with all light and power. And we're going to be partakers of that. Peter says we're partakers in the glory that is to be revealed. Set this before your eyes when darkness comes. For all evil is soon to be dispatched. Everything we see today is soon to be dispelled. For yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look well at his place, he'll not be there. But the meek shall possess the land, you guys, and delight yourselves in abundant prosperity. So why are we worried about all the evil that's in the world today if, as it says also in that psalm, that the enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Here today, gone tomorrow. Brief, ephemeral, short-lived, passing away, about to disappear. All the things that trouble us right now. And when the Lord comes, this road that we walk this life of trouble and across and through the evil world of this darkness, when the Lord comes, our road ends in triumph. For when the chief shepherd is manifested, says Peter, you will obtain the unfading crown of glory, God placing his upon you. For this slight momentary affliction, says Paul, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we're looking not to the things that are seen with our physical eyes, but the things that are unseen, which we see with our spiritual eyes. For the things that are seen are passing away, transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The glory of evil is going away. The glory of the righteous and our Lord is coming. So God says in conclusion today, as the world gets darker, look to me, don't be alarmed. And I'll make you brighter. For the world's just plain going to have its troubles. But let those who are of the earth worry about the things that are of the earth. You're of heaven. Aim at the things that are above. God's glory right now. And his triumphant glory that's soon coming. Best of all, we know this, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are now justified by his grace as a free gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. And far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And soon to him shall come ashamed, be ashamed all who are incensed against him. But in him shall all the offspring of Israel triumph and glory. And we know that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Amen.